I had just graduated college. I had a decent job and a decent social life, I would say. I had little to worry about and really no reason to be down in the dumps. So it was a surprise to me on how empty and hopeless I felt. The day before my 25th birthday, I booked a hotel room downtown, drew the curtains shut, and I slept the whole day. Around midnight, my phone would begin to buzz, and friends and family and coworkers would call and text with well wishes, but I ignored it all because nothing about my birthday felt happy. That morning, I got up. I went to church for the first time in a long time, and I gave my life to Christ. Over the next few years, I would go on to explore the claims of Christ, move to a new city, pursue my master's degree, get new jobs, build new relationships, etc. You know, adulting. And yet, I would still experience random periods of depression. It didn't matter what my circumstance looked like. Life could be going good or life could be going bad. And it didn't matter how much faith or trust that I had in God. Depression felt the need to pop up and give me surprise visits, habitually overstaying her welcome. But the more I grew in self-awareness, the more I realized that these weren't separate seasons of depression. No, instead, this was one long bout of the blues. I now see that I had been walking around with this dark cloud over my head since I can remember. It stemmed from some childhood trauma that I, at the time, had not dealt with. And because of these, my mind had been the devil's playground for quite some time. I had very unhealthy thoughts about myself, and these thoughts haunted me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 365 days a year. I woke up with these thoughts. I went to work with them. Like, I had joyous moments with them. I got promotions with them. I achieved goals with them. I made new friends with them. And I went to sleep with them just to do it all over again the next day. I would keep myself very busy so that I wouldn't have to deal with these thoughts. I couldn't stand to sit in silence because of these thoughts. And as a result, depression became my best friend. About a year and a half ago, I was going through a super stressful time at work while also experiencing a transition in my personal life. It was a really crazy time for me and I had a lot going on. And then one life-changing day, I cracked. All of those thoughts that I chose to ignore came back up. I had a nervous breakdown, PTSD, feelings of rejection, being misunderstood, and feeling confused. Anything that I could think of, well, I thought of. Those thoughts that taunted me for decades got louder and aggressive. I reckoned that ending my life would save me from dealing with my issues. Death seemed really appealing to me. My thoughts scared me so much that I called the National Suicide Hotline and then eventually told my loved ones. My journey towards mental wellness began from there. Although this was a super low point in my life, I thank God for it because I wouldn't be here sharing with you the dangers of a mismanaged thought process. For whatever reason, I don't shy away from sharing my struggle with depression. It's the end of Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, and mental health has been a topic of discussion all month. As a matter of fact, more Americans are aware of mental health than ever before. But sadly, simply being aware of mental health does not make depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, and attempts go away. You know how I know? For the last year and a half, I fought hard to pull myself out of a place that I did not know I was in. I hope to one day share with you where the depression stemmed from, but for right now, I will tell you that your unmanaged thoughts is a breeding ground for depression and anxiety, or worse, suicidal thoughts and attempts. Thank God for medication, because some of us really need it due to chemical imbalances. But if you choose not to take that route or want to add something else to your regimen, keep listening. I must say that I am in no way, shape, or form a licensed therapist, but in the next few minutes, I would like to share with you some tips that have worked for me on managing my thoughts and keeping depression and suicidal thoughts at bay. Number one, be aware of triggers. According to Good Therapy, a trigger in psychology is a stimulus such as a smell, sound, or a sight that triggers feelings of trauma. I'm really big on guarding your heart and your mind from things that negatively affect you. I learned that because of the person that I am, disorganization and lack of structure in whatever environment that I am is a huge trigger for me. In 2018, I was tested for ADHD, and through that, I found out that I had some obsessive compulsive tendencies and I suffered anxiety. My mind is naturally hyperactive and chaotic, and I worry a lot, even about things I can't control. Thanks to my therapist, I now understand how my brain functions. I learned that because my mind is naturally this way, having a lack of structure for a long period of time creates a recipe for disaster, i.e. nervous breakdown, depression, panic attacks, suicidal thoughts. So disorganization, a consistently chaotic environment, and lack of structure are top triggers for me. I now understand that if I want to sort out the mess in my mind, I would have to create environments that promoted order, structure, peace, and routine. After making this realization, I started doing things that would help me to counter the hyperactivity in my mind. And I realized that sometimes you can't control the exposure to your triggers. I certainly couldn't, but I did what had to be done. I began aggressively sticking to my personal routine and structure and creating boundaries with my relationships and work life. If it felt uncomfortable, if it stressed me out and did not provide true growth for me, I avoided it until I was ready for it on my own terms. And I made no apologies about it. So, what are your triggers? A major part of finding this out is knowing yourself. Self-awareness is a beautiful thing. What makes you anxious? What makes you sad? What person or thing bring up negative feelings and memories that put you in a dark place? Now, after you've made yourself aware of your triggers, do your best to combat them or avoid them by implementing practices that work for you. Perhaps it's opening the blinds, listening to music, taking a walk, going to the gym, or exercising a creative muscle. Number two, express yourself. Okay, so here's the story. When I was in the fifth grade, I got a whooping for doing something I do best. Run my mouth. I'm sure I deserved it because Nadine always likes to have the last word. Anyway, I started writing in my diary around this age and documented this whooping of mine and how it made me feel. I went to school the next day and I brought my journal, which was really dumb of me. During class, I decided to get up and go to the bathroom, and I came back to find my quote unquote friend laughing at me. And there was my diary on her lap. She was reading the personal account of my whooping from the night before. I was mortified. Clearly, I didn't forget this and had no idea that this tiny event planted a seed and I would grow to be afraid of jotting down my thoughts. Because of this, I missed out on years of thought assessment. I didn't create room for me to sift through my thoughts for fear of someone finding my innermost secrets. But through therapy and counsel, I learned to express myself through writing again. I utilize a prayer journal and make it a habit to write down my thoughts and refer to it later. Even if it's one sentence worth of thoughts, or if I'm on the go, I'm jotting it down in my Evernote app or the Notes app on my iPhone. I promise you that I've learned more about myself through writing than any other method. So, you pick up a pen and write. Write what you feel, even if it's something that you're ashamed of or you're scared to admit. Write down your thoughts, even if it seems silly or weird. Write about your day or an experience or an idea, and then go back and read them as if you are reading the autobiography of your favorite person. Doing this will help you to see your negative thought patterns and capture negative thought patterns when they come. As you notice these thoughts arise, start aggressively holding them captive. For example, when thoughts of doubt or unworthiness crept in, I would begin to combat it with the word of God. For every thought pattern, I had scripture to disarm these lies. I began to speak truth over my life and my mind, and the more I did it, the more I believed it, and the more it became embedded, not just in my mind, but in my heart. Now, if carving out time to sit and write is difficult for you, as it was for me, you can either force this habit by adding it to your daily routine and actually following it, or you can leave yourself voice memos to go back to. You can even start talking to yourself. I know this sounds crazy and I don't care, but I do it often. Talking to yourself helps you to sort through your thoughts. It's even been said to make you smarter. No person on this earth can reason with Nadine, remind Nadine, motivate Nadine, pick her up and encourage her more than Nadine. I tend to leave sticky notes in my bathroom with little reminders of what God has said about me. And I've been doing this before Mary Jane was being Mary Jane. However you do it, just do it. And make sure you are habitually doing it. Express yourself to yourself. Number 3, get counsel from the right people. I was blessed enough to deal with my mental anguish before I did something irreversible. Naturally, I will encourage you to talk to a mental health professional who can help you sort through your thoughts, but I also realize that not everyone has access to a therapist. If you find yourself in a situation, I encourage you to find wise counsel. Wise counsel is getting advice from a credible person. First things first, remove or distance the toxicity that come in the form of people from your life. And if these people have your ear, remove them quickly. Take a survey of the people around you and find someone you can talk to, who you can confide in, and who can even talk you off a ledge if it gets to that point. One of my most prized possessions are my relationships. I am who I am because of my wise counsel and the voices in my ear. My friends, my therapist, my mentor, and spiritual leadership have all been instrumental in my journey towards mental health, and I am so grateful for them. Choose your circle wisely because they affect more than just your social life. If you don't have the right people around you yet, let me recommend one of my favorite and easily accessible experts. Her name is Dr. Caroline Leaf, and she is a brilliant neuroscientist who helps people all over the world detox their minds, and I still find her to be extremely helpful. I absolutely love her work. She has books, a blog, a podcast, and a YouTube channel. Check her out at drleaf.com. Oh, wow. So I had to bite the bullet this episode to be as transparent as possible so that I could hopefully help you to make steps towards managing your thoughts. This episode is in remembrance of those who have passed away due to suicide. It's also dedicated to those of us who struggle with mental illness and disorders but don't really know how to get totally healed from it. It's not as easy as some people make it out to be. And if you share the same faith with me, you can't just pray it away. Our thoughts have more power than we think or realize. Our thoughts affect our hearts and our minds and our future. Yes, it's important to be aware of mental health and suicide, but for those of us who suffer with it, let's go a little deeper and prioritize self-awareness and learn ourselves as well so that we can cut depression off at its root. Make it a habit to fill your minds with beauty and truth. Meditate on whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, whatever is virtuous and praiseworthy. I'm glad to say that I am the healthiest I've ever been due to my journey towards mental health. This doesn't mean that I don't deal with anxiety or negative thoughts anymore. It just means that I fight tooth and nail to replace my negative thoughts with positive ones daily. And I'm so glad that there are great resources out there that can help us live our best lives and be our most productive selves. You just have to take advantage of it. The inability to manage our thoughts will make it impossible for us to live to our full potential. There may not be much you can control in this world, but you know what you can control? You can control what you allow, how you react to things, and your thoughts. Thanks for listening. Until next time.